Welcome to the Geeky Ones podcast. On this episode, we talked to artist Miguel Mercado. We talked about his love for comic books, how he developed his art style, some movie recommendations, among other things. Now, just take note that this episode was recorded before the community quarantine was applied in the Philippines, so some topics might have some schedule changes. We did talk about his upcoming Gwen Stacy cover. However, due to the coronavirus and Marvel's temporary pause on distribution, we don't know when this cover will be coming out, but we still had a good time talking about comics and other nerdy things. We do hope we can interview Miguel again post-quarantine, so do stay tuned for that. Anyway, on to the episode.
So we are with Miguel Mercado, comic book artist.
Hello.
Very famous comic book artist now in the local scene.
Okay, let's next. Let's move on.
Anyway, he is famous for a lot of images, including a upcoming Gwen Stacy cover. We are going to talk about his first thing. We're going to talk about his art style. Yeah, let's just talk about a bit of your art style, like how did you use your art style as a base to, you know, start drawing covers for comic book companies?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, getting into my art style, it's because there was a point in my let's call it my career.
Yeah.
There was a point in my career that, you know, I thought that I didn't have any kind of style. Progress and the significant improvement in the work I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't fully happy with the kind of art I was making. That was around maybe 2011, 12, 13, 14, around that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of frustrated a little bit. So, you know, for some comfort, I thought maybe I could do some studies of my favorite artists. So these are artists from like the classical period, traditional oil painters, a lot of the lifestyle illustrators from like the 50s, 60s. So I drew a lot of inspiration from these artists. And
it's okay. Well,
we could put that. You can actually put that here.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Okay. Challenges of the outdoors.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so
Norman Rockwell.
Yes. So one of these illustrators was Norman Rockwell, and what I would actually do
this is fun.
What I would actually do is I try to look through Google for high res images of my favorite artists. Oh wait, you know what?
You wanted to find an art style, and you decided to go to Google for these.
I'd really go and get as high resolution images as possible, so I could be able to see how these paintings were done up close. And I do studies. What I would do just for fun is replace the subjects with my favorite characters, like superheroes. And I try to copy the same art style as these classical painters.
Yeah.
So that in turn just... and I didn't realize like how much fun I was having painting, doing this kind of style. It's a style that I really found myself resonating a lot to.
Was it a digital painting? Or
it was digital.
Ah, okay.
Well, I painted digitally everything. But I take a lot of, like almost all of my inspiration from these traditional painters.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had so much fun doing this. I didn't realize that it was already becoming something that, you know, I was accustomed to, something very automatic for me to do, rather than me desperately trying to yung maghahanap ako ng style.
It just came naturally.
So natural to me already that it ended up being the style I ultimately went for or like gravitated towards too. And so, you know, through the years I've tried to make it more of my own, rather than just copying from people. It was a very slow process, but eventually that, you know, I'm thankful that people can recognize my work from, they say, oh, I, you know, the moment I saw this, I recognize that it's yours, even without seeing the credits of the, you know, of the art. So, you know, I'm quite happy that I was able to get it to that point already. You know, it's always so nice for me to hear when people recognize my work. And so, since that's the style that I've just been, that feels the most natural to me, it's what I ended up using for all of my like comic book covers as well. Well, whenever the style would call for it.
And then you do use yourself or you know, your friends as reference.
Yeah, I do.
And but that's led to a lot of cool covers, right? Like the Archie cover, the Buffy cover.
Yeah, the Archie cover was just all me and Jin. It's all me and Jin. That's all me. A lot of the like the Power Rangers, the Go-Go Power Rangers yearbook covers.
The Jason one. I knew that was you from the beginning.
Oh, thank that's you. Him. Well, you know, I've always wanted to be the Red Ranger, so...
It's coming back. Have you seen the Dino
I haven't
chart?
Seen it yet.
There's a new Beast Morphers trailer that came out. They're going to do an all Dino episode.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So they're going to bring back Mighty Morphing, Dino Thunder, Dino Charge, all those Dino seasons. To transition to the next upcoming season, which is another Dino season.
Yeah, that's great.
Jason's coming back for an episode, which is gonna be nice. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting then. Yeah. I'm glad.
I think, and then, since we're talking about Power Rangers, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, don't worry.
But you do use them as inspiration for your Power Ranger covers, and you use yourself and Jin as, like, the basis.
Yeah.
Do you still use it for, like, the upcoming covers and all?
I still use myself for reference, because that's the fastest way for me to get, like, information and how... You know how things work, like you know, like how light hits a suit, how the suit folds up, or you know, or it's just the quickest way for me to get the reference images I need to be able to do work as fast as possible and as realistic as possible. So I always, you know, my phone is filled with pictures of myself, you know, because you know, it's really just the quickest way for me to be able to get the references I need, and I could be as flexible as I want with lighting, with expression, with pose. You know, it's all just so easy with camera. Well, I just use my phone.
Yeah.
So you know, it's just been so easy and convenient for me to take, you know, all the references that I need for the artworks that I make. So it's opened up a lot of doors for me in terms of technique, in terms of style, in terms of ways to approach making an artwork.
And then this style led us to one of your now very popular images, which is MJ stitching up Peter's back.
Right. The image got went the rounds online, and I'm just really happy how well it's been received, how people really say that, oh, this is great,
like the perfect reflection of the relationship between Peter and MJ.
Because that's exactly what I wanted to show when I made that image. And I've just been so happy that it's been received so well by people.
And then how did that lead to your Miguel O'Hara Marvel cover, Spider-Man cover? Like, how did that, like, go from there to there?
Oh, yeah. Because, like I mentioned, like, some time ago, you know, I was just fresh getting off of watching Into the Spider-Verse when it first came out in theaters. And I was so excited, it got me so excited, so hyped up for anything Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man already, and it just made me love Spider-Man so much more. It's the best movie adaptation of Spider-Man, in my opinion, across all franchises. And I've just been raring to make some fan art for Spider-Man. And the Mary Jane and Peter piece was actually something I conceived years and years ago, but I just never got around to finishing it. I made a sketch maybe around 2014, 2013, 2015. I don't remember exactly when. But I made a sketch, and then maybe a year or two after, I started working on like the rough appearance of the image, blocked things out, but I just never finished it. And then after watching Spider-Verse, I remembered, I did have this Peter and Mary Jane piece that, you know, I never finished for some reason. Yeah. So I guess this is the time to try and finish it already. And so still having like that strong hype of Into the Spider-Verse, while after I finished all of like my my deadlines,
yeah.
You know, I tried to find some time slowly at least to continue building up to working, continue building up to finishing that piece,
uh-huh.
Which I ended up finishing maybe around June or July,
mm-hmm.
of 2019, I think. And like I mentioned, I'm so thankful that it's been received so well,
yeah.
and that it's gone around online quite a lot, and which I was pleasantly surprised,
yeah.
about, and which I'm just so happy for.
It's like, I think on Instagram, like even when people like show fan art of MJ and Peter, like that occasionally comes out, I think.
Oh yeah, well I've been tagged
yeah.
so many times. I'm just so happy seeing everyone just reacting so nice to it. And it's just been a great time for me seeing all of that come to that. You know, I put so much heart and soul into that work.
Yeah.
I
can imagine it framing it in a house, like just putting it there. Like it's still like for the older generation of, you know, parents who don't really read comics, they can still appreciate it because like there's always that generation gap between parents,
right.
and kids, like saying that. Oh, it's not artwork, it's just a comic book. But, like, this one's just, like, wow. Like, honestly. Like,
it looks like an old, like, a,
exactly.
an old illustration.
Yeah, like what
so,
you said earlier, Norman Rockwell style,
yeah,
kind of like
so,
that.
So, I think, I do hope that, people of any age would, you know, hopefully still appreciate
yeah.
it. And,
how did that lead to the, the Miguel O'Hara?
Yeah, so after I posted that work, a few months later,
yeah.
Like I was contacted, and they said, we'd like to know if you're interested in doing a Spider-Man 2099 cover.
Wow.
Because we, you know, in the same manner as the fan art you made of Peter and Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they saw it, because it just kind of blew up online.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people from Marvel probably saw it.
And I mean, it does help that we've had C.B. Cebulski, the current editor-in-chief in the Philippines. So I'm sure, like, that must have been one. I'm not saying that I'm assuming that it's because of him, but, like, I think it helped. He knows that there's, like, a large roster of Filipino artists here. Yourself, Rian, Koi. Like, there's a lot of, like, recently there are a lot of Filipino artists.
Yeah,
here.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that more and more people are being able to
yeah.
work for more and more
team.
People here are
yeah.
being able to work for the companies
mm.
they've always wanted to work for.
Yeah.
And while I don't know exactly how they came across my work, you know, I'm thankful that it's gotten around. Like, so to everyone who shared it, thank you. I'm so happy that you shared my work. Thank you so much that you know, the people at Marvel saw it, and then they contacted me asking if I wanted to do a Spider-Man 2099 cover, you know, that kind of looks, you know, in a similar light to my Peter and Mary Jane piece. And, you know, of course I was so excited when I got the news. I had to postpone for maybe an hour or a
yeah.
few minutes replying just
yeah.
so I could get myself together just so I could get it together, because
yeah.
I was just this excited and happy mess.
you did say you have an emotional connection to the
yes
the sentimental
yeah.
connection to Miguel O'Hara, the character,
yeah,
because of what you said that on one of your Facebook posts.
Uh-huh.
Your mom bought your first copy of a Spider-Man comic, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This character 2099 is just so special to me, which is why I was like extremely excited in doing this. I couldn't be happier, like being able to get this assigned to me, especially being my first Marvel cover. I do remember my mom. The cover was 2099. That was a very special comic book for me, because it's the very first floppy issue I ever owned. My mom got it for me in local grocery, sa Katipunan and Shoppersville. I still distinctly remember that. It was she got me that comic book cover, and 29. Ever since then, 2099 became such a favorite character of mine. I also just really like how he looked, his design. It was just so different, so edgy looking for me.
I mean, 90s was all about 90s,
you know, extreme.
Yeah.
You know, and you were a kid.
Adding an X to everything.
I know, it's fantastic. Yeah. But I did really love that issue so much.
Mm.
And so being able to get Spider-Man 2099 as my very first Marvel cover was such a big deal for me.
All right. So, is there any difference working with the different companies, like in when it comes to like, do you have more freedom with Marvel, or do you have more freedom with Archie or Boom, like, or do they just give you like total freedom over the concept of the artwork?
Well, they do have they do specify what they want to see.
Yeah.
And I am to some extent given freedom to depict something the way I want.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I express that through the sketches, and they approve of it. They can approve of it, or they can make some comments to it.
Yeah.
But generally, the whole process, I think it's pretty much the same for all the publishers I've worked with. I wouldn't say there's anything too different on the way things are handled. Based on my experience, but the whole process seemed to be the same. That they give me a prompt on what they want to see on the cover. Mm-hmm. They give me their idea, and I start to execute that idea through a sketch that they then approve. And once the sketch is approved, that's when I start to work on the actual cover itself. All the way to final, and the final can get a few revisions here and there, which is very normal. And that's pretty much the process for all the companies I've worked with, you know, be it Marvel, Boom, or any of the other publishers that I've worked with. It's all the same process.
Okay. I just want to talk about one specific cover, the Philippine exclusive cover of Archie. How did that happen? Like, did they just send an email say, "Hey, we know you're a Filipino artist. Would you like to do a Filipino cover?"
Oh, or? Well, I was actually contacted by it was actually Sandy and Jacob. Sandy from Comic Odyssey and Jacob from Filbars. They were the ones who actually got in touch with me, and it was actually them that I was coordinating with throughout the whole process. And they told me, "Oh, Miguel, are you interested in doing like an Archie cover with this and that details?"
Yeah,
and then it was like, yeah, of course, because Archie's another comic book that I grew up on.
Yeah,
I still remember distinctly some of the issues that the Digest magazines that I had,
or like the old ads with like the Super Nintendo ads.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the big spinning top thing.
All of those Twizzlers, Captain Crunch. All of those
things that we never get in Asia.
Yeah, you know, like a Capri Sun. Like, oh, I don't know what this tastes like, but
it's basically Zesto.
It's probably good because it is Archie.
Yeah, I remember like there was like Archie and the gang, like swinging in the jungle or something, and like the only thing that could save them is Capri Sun.
Right? Yeah, you know, those comic books.
Oh,
I love those.
Anyway,
so
you were contacted by Sandy of Comic Odyssey.
Sandy and Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they just coordinated with you with all the
details.
They
did. Yeah,
and they just went from there.
Yeah, they gave me the idea. Like, they gave me some of their ideas.
Yeah,
like they wanted like a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
It was you know, Fort Bonifacio, I think, or Fort Bonifacio. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Or, well, oh, my memory is case. My memory is so bad, but
fine.
But we ended up going with Luneta because it was like, it was probably one of the most iconic monuments that they have.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they so when they sent me the ideas, I made some sketches for them, using all of their ideas, and they went with. They went with the one that we got.
Mm. And they, there's two versions, right? One without the RG banner, and then there's one with the banner.
That that's just for the variant.
Okay.
One is the Virgin cover without the title.
Okay.
That's just depicting it like a pin-up, a poster.
But the contents are the same inside.
Yeah,
right?
It's exactly the same. It's just a variant cover difference.
Mm. Now that you've done an RG cover, Power Rangers cover, a Miguel O'Hara cover, is there any more like character you want to draw? What, doesn't matter what company, like any character.
Oh, well, I did get my, because I've always wanted to draw the X-Men.
Oh,
and I did
one
get
step closer.
And I did get a taste of that with the Gwen Stacy issue 4.
Yeah,
I was able to draw Jean Grey, and I was just really happy because that's one of my favorite books for her. The first costume.
Yeah.
But I do want to be able to draw more of the X-Men. I also, well, one of my favorite characters is also Superman.
Mm.
And so I hope someday, you know, I could do a Superman cover.
Because
he's one of the characters that I just appreciated a lot more as I grew up. I got older.
Mm-hmm.
So Superman, I hope. One day, maybe. Yeah, I'll try my best to make that happen. But I do wish to be able to draw a Superman cover, whenever that would be.
Mm-hmm. All right. So last two questions. The second to last question is, you did tell me recently that you're a freelancer now.
Uh-huh.
What's the routine been like, drawing covers now that you're a freelancer versus having a day job to like keep things
right?
Steady?
Well, now I just. I just have a lot more freedom now on my schedule.
Okay. It's okay.
So I'm just able to take in a lot more, because I've had to turn down a few covers here and there, like in the past years.
Yeah.
Because my schedule was just too busy juggling both a full-time and a freelance job. But
I think
it was just the chair.
Okay.
Yeah, but juggling a full-time and a freelance job was not the easiest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of hampered my schedule, and it kind of dictated very much what I can and can't take at the moment. But now that I have a lot more freedom with my schedule, I'm able to take in a lot more of the cover work. So, More time for those.
Does it also help with your cosplay, if ever? Like, do you still cosplay
I
now?
I do. I have a bunch of plans. Meron akong mga ibang gusto gawin na cosplay.
And the next Kenshin movie is coming out soon.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We'll see about that. But cosplay is still something that I want to do because I consider it something that I can do apart from drawing.
Yes.
Just so I don't, get burnt out or get overwhelmed by work.
Mm.
I love my work and all. I do think I just, there's something else that I could do just to make myself a little more, not well-rounded, but more of a, I don't know the exact word for that, but cosplay is still something I really want to be able to do, to continue to do, especially after learning how to like sew.
Nice.
I do want to make more props myself.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it very relaxing to be able to make things, and so it's something else I thought that I could do apart from drawing.
And then last question, before the bonus question.
Sure. All right.
Are there any upcoming projects that we can talk about that is not under an NDA?
There's a lot I want to say, but
we'll have to wait for the solicitation.
I think we'll just have to wait for that. Because, I'm not sure what I can and can't say at the moment.
Right.
But, there's But all I can say right now is, being freelance, you'll probably see my work maybe a lot more because I'm able to take in more gigs for that.
Sorry, you were saying.
Oh no. Apart from comics, there's also a possibility of a future art show.
Oh nice.
Yeah, because it's something I've always wanted to do. We'll see how it goes from there. Now that I have more time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any words of advice for local artists who are aspiring to be on the same level as you guys?
Oh. Okay, that's a tough one. It's always kind of tough answering that for me because, even I'm just still figuring out things along the way. Mm. Yeah, but I think don't feel pressured to know everything. Like, if you don't know everything yet, don't feel pressured that. Don't be so hard on yourself because even I myself am still figuring a lot of things out. Mm. For practical tips, buy a tripod for your phone if you're taking references. Mm-hmm. With a Bluetooth remote, they're cheap these days. Mm-hmm. I got mine, 1,000 pesos lang yata.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my Bluetooth remote, man, with
this
tripod. Yeah.
And Bluetooth
remote. It came with the Bluetooth remote.
Nice.
So, sobrang laking bagay niya if you're taking your own reference pictures. Mm. Mas hindi nakapagod pag may Bluetooth remote ka.
Kasi hindi ka na mag-aim.
Hindi ka na back and forth aim.
Like timer.
Yeah, or like pag may tripod ka, all I used were my books and DVDs before I'd prop up my phone there. It would never be consistent yung shots ko. So, malaking bagay if, you have that. It's always so hard to give any advice, pero I'd say that just don't be so hard on yourself if you don't have everything figured out yet. Yeah, it took me years to be able to get to develop what I'd call a style. Mm-hmm. I tried to rush it at first.
Yeah.
It didn't work out at all. Just try to let it come as naturally as you can. Just try to be open to just learning as many new things as you can. Don't be, don't restrict yourself to just watching videos, watching videos of like your artists doing tutorials.
Yes.
I mean, those are fantastic resources, but don't limit yourself to just those. Be as open as you can. Do as many things as you can to be able to expand like your knowledge on a lot of things because you never know when it would help you in like your art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so for the last part of the podcast, I want to get a recommendation of anything. It can be a video game, a TV show, music.
Oh, okay.
Recently you did say that you wanted to dye your hair like Billie Eilish.
Yeah, because why not? I don't know.
So what is your artist recommendation for this episode?
Oh, man. 1917, probably.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that movie. I'm not too into war movies, but that was just, I thought that was just a fantastic, character-driven movie.
I think there was very simple plot. It's just
it's just, we need you to deliver it. Like, text mo siya.
The thing wala pa Morse code na,
wala pa. But yeah, it's just, get this so, people don't die.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But just seeing how they got there with some of the beautiful shots that they had.
Oh,
I thought it's just such a thoughtful movie.
Yung parang feeling mo the entire movie was just like one shot.
Yeah, exactly.
How?
The editing and all the work involved was just
definitely
fantastic, I thought. And it's something I think people should experience. And Parasite.
Ah. Oh,
Parasite, of course. I love that. A lot of my recommendations right now are films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Parasite I thought was absolutely fantastic. Try the noodles that they made there. I think they're sold. They translated it to Ramdon, but I think they call it chapaguri.
Okay.
Because it's made of two types of noodles. Chapaghetti and niyoguri.
Okay.
You can buy those in the grocery, but I think they sold out because they were hyped by the movie. Yeah. After it, especially after it won Best Picture. But try it out if you can with a sirloin steak. Mm. It's pretty good. Try to do it in 8 minutes, like in the movie. It's kind of hard to do it in 8 minutes.
I mean, it's sirloin, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah, fancy. But you know, it's
class differences.
Well, yeah, that's one thing too. But recommendations? Yeah, I think.
What about any video game? Any
video games?
Yeah, any video games you played recently? Like I played the.
Oh, we.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I. What did you play?
I just finished Spider-Man last night. Like last weekend.
Oh, the
weekend.
The
PS4 one.
The Insomnia. The one by
Insomnia. Yeah, the Insomnia. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like that could be a TV show on its own. It's that good.
Yeah, because I'm not too into open world games.
Yeah.
I haven't finished the game. But you just get sucked into
exactly.
the game when you play it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you don't want to do anything and just web swing around the city because it's just so much fun.
It's like as a kid, like that's what I imagined what Spider-Man swinging around would be like.
Yeah,
so anyway, your video game.
They did such a stellar job with that game.
Yeah, sold that.
My recommendation. I played Until Dawn, recently.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played that?
Not yet.
It's
I think Drew has,
Yeah, but it's like the choose-your-own-adventure type I mean...
Going back to the 80s and 90s.
I mean, I'd say it's like this very campy type of horror. It's like a playable horror movie, pretty much. It's fun with friends. I'd say it's just the most fun with friends. It's just a shallow game, in my opinion, but it's just a lot of fun with friends. Try it out if you can. What other games? All I'm looking forward to right now is Resident Evil. The 3. The remake that's coming out, this April. Mm. Yeah, but I haven't played too many games recently. Death Stranding.
Oh.
If you're in it for the long haul type of games, it's great.
Mm.
Story's great, you know. Kojima game. Expect
Kojima.
Like stuff you wouldn't understand at first. Yeah, but.
And the random Conan O'Brien cameo.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien. I think Junji Ito was there.
Yeah, it's like so many people.
It's just such a fun Easter eggy type of game. It's great. Mm. But I think that's what I can recommend. Mm.
So where can we find you on social media before we close this podcast?
Oh god, I'm so bad at this. Just look for Murky Mercs like on anywhere. MERKYMERX.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all the same. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so
much. You're welcome. Thanks for having me over again. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Do this again next time.
Yeah, hopefully.
See how things
spot.
Have changed since the last one.
Yeah. All right, okay. So that's it for the Geeky Fans. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the occasional Twitch. And we also have a website, thegeekyjuans.com. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.